Turn to your Bibles tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll give you a little something that hopefully will be a great encouragement to you and a help to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know the verse. Many of you may have memorized it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go right into our study tonight. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. I pray tonight as folks really seriously consider the opportunity that we have as a church to decide upon these missionaries. I pray your Holy Spirit will lead us specifically in the direction you have us to go with them. Truly, Father, it's not wrong when it's the leadership of your Holy Spirit for us to say no. When no is what you want us to do, because we've already blessed them with a good love offering and we've already encouraged them and known them and they've had a chance to present. When yes is the right answer, then Father, all we need to know is how much. So lead us as a church in this decision. Father, tonight we pray for the study and we pray that it be very profitable and helpful to these that are gathered here. They've come in the middle of the week, Father, not just to be seen, but to be helped and to pray. And I pray you'll help us tonight. We also pray for Brother Bryant Legault up in Emmanuel Baptist Church in New York. And we ask you, please, to really strengthen him. He's a good man, Father. Brother Williams is out of his church. I pray it'll be strong. I pray the folks will be faithful. And I pray, Lord, that he can lead them well and that they won't slide to the things that are modern, Father, but they'll stay with the things that are true in the words of God. And we ask you to do it all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible tells you here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that the word of God is profitable. And that's our study tonight. The Word of God is profitable. Now, when we receive it and we believe it, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that it works effectually. The Word worketh effectually in you that believe. So it's going to go to work on you, and when it does, it's profitable. There's some things that happen. So according to our text in 2 Timothy 3:16, when the Word of God is given to you by the inspiration of God, then it is profitable for four things. Number one, for doctrine. You see that in 2 Timothy 3:16. It is profitable for doctrine. Keep your finger where you are. Turn to the next page if you have to, and go to Titus chapter 1, verse 9. As another verse, Titus chapter 1, verse 9, in speaking about pastors, the bishop there in verse 7, he goes on to say in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. A gainsayer is a contradictor. A gainsayer is an opponent of the word of God. To exhort that gainsayer means to urge him earnestly or to encourage him, and to convince him is to cause him to change his mind about the contradiction or the opposition that he had to the Word of God. And the bishop is able to do that because he has been taught by the Word. You know what doctrine basically does? It teaches you something. It teaches you something. And that is, when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, when you come to a church and you hear the Bible preached, or you hear the Bible taught, you ought to learn something. You ought to come away knowing something that you didn't know. In other words, a lot of times when people read their Bibles, I've done this and it's okay to do it, you do it, it's okay to do it, they'll read it for devotions. That we even call that morning devotions or personal devotions or evening devotions or family devotions. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible for devotional purposes. But even when you're reading, you ought to be learning something. Your mind ought to be triggered, and you ought to think about what you're reading. One of the dullest places in your Bible you can read is 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through chapter 10. It's just a bunch of genealogies. Randy happens to be reading there right now, and the same question came up to him that comes up to me every time I read it. There, David is called the seventh son, but when Samuel comes to choose, he already has seen seven sons, and David comes in and he's the eighth. And 2 Samuel even calls him, or 1 Samuel even calls him the eighth. And you say, well, how do you reconcile that? Over here he says there's seven, over there eight. What is that all about? You know what that is? That's attending to the reading. You're not going to get much devotional material out of that, okay? But you ought to learn something by that. And, you know, then we discussed it briefly, and I'll tell you, I know you're over there going, well, what did y'all come up with? You know, David was the youngest one. He has two sisters. One is named Zeruiah, and the other one is named Abigail. And when you read the genealogies of Jesus Christ, Mary's genealogy is given in Matthew, and Joseph's genealogy is given in Luke chapter 3. And in Luke chapter 3, it says that Joseph is the son of, and the fact is he is the son-in-law of. Okay? And so evidently, one of the boys that, one of the children that was brought in for Samuel to decide whether he was to anoint or not, was married either to Zeruiah or to Abigail, and he was a son-in-law. And he rejected him too. So he brought in the youngest son, and that's the one that got anointed. So eight over here, seven over here. It's all right. The Bible's always right. But you know what that is? That's not just casually reading. You're trying to learn something. There's doctrine in that. And listen, the profitability of the Scripture is in the doctrine. We've had people that have come here from other churches for one reason or another, and not until the Lord had led them here. I firmly believe that. And they'll say to me, after a period of time, 6 months or so, they'll say to me, I've learned more Bible here in the last 6 months than I have in 10 years where I was. Not so much a slight there, but you know what? You're supposed to learn something. And that's why we give you doctrine while you're learning. All right, the Word of God, when it's given by inspiration, is not only profitable for doctrine, but it's also profitable, it says, for reproof. To reprove somebody is to point out where they're wrong. To reprove somebody is to show them what they're doing wrong or what's wrong with them. And then to bring them under conviction about what they're doing wrong. And it's one thing to tell somebody, you know, what you're doing right there is wrong, and they're like, eh. And they don't change it because they have no conviction about it. To reprove them is not only to point it out, but the Spirit of God is working in that reproof to convince them that what they're doing is wrong needs to be changed. Okay? And they're convinced about it. Reproof, then, as you can tell, is negative. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Kids don't like to be told that they're wrong and told to straighten up. But you might as well get used to it. I laugh every time we have a preacher that comes through here or a missionary that comes through here and says, you know, I was real rebellious when I was growing up, so I joined the military. In the military, you're going to get nothing but the reproofs of instruction. Some of you guys that have been there, you're nodding your head, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's negative. Listen, when you read and you study the Bible, when you listen to preaching of the Word of God, you ought to be reproved. None of us is good enough not to be doing something wrong or have something still wrong with us. And there ought to be something coming from the pulpit that says you need to deal with this in your life. Now, because there's a very spiritual work being done during the preaching, how the Holy Spirit might reprove you could be very different than the way He's reproving you out of the same doctrine that's being preached. But He knows you got to straighten it up. And you know how I know that's to be true? Because after preaching, I've had on numerous occasions, one person come to me and said, how come you always pointing this particular area out in my life? And another person, same sermon, will come and say, how come you're always pointing this area out in my life? And it's two different areas. But it's a reproof. It's negative. That's one of the things that's wrong with a lot of modern preaching is it lacks that negative reproof. It's all just a big smile and make you feel good. It's hard to feel good before God when you're doing something wrong. You need to know that. Then in the next thing, when the Word of God is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for correction. Well, correction is the positive thing that balances reproof. Reproof points out something you're doing wrong or a place in your life where you're wrong. Correction shows you how to straighten it out and get it right with God. You know, it doesn't do any good to point out to a child what they're doing wrong without giving them the method of correcting that wrong. I saw that when I used to coach soccer. I did it for 12 years, and you know what people on the sideline, you need to kick it with your left foot, kick it with your left foot, come on, kick it with your left foot. Well, if they don't know, if they've never been instructed in that, they're not going to be able to do it. So you point out that that's wrong, and then what you do is you design drills and all kinds of things to correct that problem, and then after they have it corrected, they can do it. That's the positive side. Then you don't have to yell on the sideline. Just like the preacher doesn't have to keep getting up here. I remember one time I was talking to a preacher many years ago. It's a long story. The short version is that he was always pointing out to his crowd where they were messing up with drugs and alcohol and adultery and all the other sins that you could think of that are of the flesh like that. And he came to our church and on three different occasions, and he heard doctrine and preaching and teaching and other things going on. And he went home to his church, which was an inner city church, and changed his preaching to feed that congregation and to correct some things. And he came back to me on another time. He said, you know, Brother Welder, he said, I've changed my preaching. And I'm teaching them doctrine and I'm giving them some things of the Bible. And you know what? We're not having nearly the trouble we used to have with all those sins I kept pointing out. He said, you know, I think I was giving them some ideas. You can't just be negative without giving also the correction. You can't just tell the student, you didn't get 2 + 2. Now go home and get 2 + 2. And they come back and say, you still didn't get 2 + 2. You got to show them how you figure the 2 and 2 are 4. So correction. Listen, you won't change what you do if you don't recognize that it's wrong, but neither can you correct it by only learning that it's wrong. You must learn how to fix the problem, and the Scripture does that for you. All right, the Word of God given by the inspiration of God is also profitable, the Bible says, for instruction in righteousness. Well, instruction is, I guess I want to say, neutral. You're not doing something wrong that has to be corrected. You don't have to have the, hey, you need to straighten that out and here's how you do it. It just shows you how to go each day. Bobby's done enough stuff with electronics and with mechanics and all that. If he gets a box, he's not going to read the instructions because he's already dealt with so many of these things. Okay? Mike Yonce doesn't read the instructions. That's because Mike Yonce doesn't like to read. And a lot of times there's do-overs because of that. Okay? But you get something you've never done. I remember we had to move the refrigerator out of the kitchen to get ready for some flooring that we were putting down, and we had to take the doors off this double-door refrigerator. I had to go upstairs and get the owner's manual and read the instructions. You know what? We got those doors off just fine, wheeled it out of there, put down the floor, wheeled it right back, put the doors back on, everything's good because we had the instructions. That's the Bible. The Bible is your instruction manual. Listen to what Bob Jones Sr. said, because everybody today is talking about how to make a living. You ever heard that? You need to learn how to make a living, boy. Bob Jones Sr. says, you don't need to learn how to make a living. You need to learn how to live. And if a man will learn how to live, he can make a living. That's instruction. You're not straightening up a problem. You're just teaching the guy how to go. Now, let me tell you something. When you have these four things, I know you know these things. We talk a lot about the Bible here, but listen. One thing I want to say, and then couple other things and 5 more points and don't just read and study your Bible to feel better or to have a devotion. You want that, but read it to learn. Let it teach you. Let it reprove you. Let it correct you and let it instruct you. That's what it's there for. And those four things are the full complement. If a man has those things, a man, as opposed to a dog, if a man has those things, then he's perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, that's the full complement. When Elisha in the Old Testament went and lived with that, or stayed with that Shunammite woman when he was passing through town, she gave him a room on the wall, in the wall. What was in that room? A bed, a table, a stool, and a light, the candlestick. Just that's all he had. He didn't have a TV or a stereo. He had a bed because you need some sleep. and a table so he could study and eat, and a stool so he could sit while he was doing that, and a candlestick so he could see at night because he was out doing things in the daytime. That's all he needed. Full complement, four things. That's all you need. You've got the full complement in the Word of God. If you've got doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, you got what you need. And it's here, and it will truly furnish you unto all good works. Now, if you are not getting doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, then one of three things is true. Something's wrong with you, something's wrong with your Bible, or something's wrong with your preacher. Don't say something's wrong with your preacher. Thank you. And I know you got the right Bible, so I'm not concerned about that. Generally, the problem's with us. But you know, there are a lot of people out there that we visit with that don't get these things out of the Bible. And sometimes it's because the preacher's not leading them in these things. Sometimes they got a modern Bible. It's not going to feed them so well. All right, you also know, and I'm just going to give you these things because we don't have to turn to them. Just want to refresh you. The Word of God also guides you. It's a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. It guides you. That's the way you know how to go each step of the way. You're going to find yourself off track if you're not getting in the Bible. We all do. As long as I've lived as a Christian and been preaching and teaching the Bible, I got to get in here. If I don't, I get off track. It guides you. It admonishes you. What's an admonition? Anybody know? What's an admonition? It's a warning. It's a warning. Where reproof points out something you've already done wrong, correction shows you how to straighten it out, instruction shows you how to go, and admonition says the bridge is out. It's a warning. Keep out. Poison water. By the words of God, you're warned. What happens when you don't follow the instruction? See? It warns you what happens to you when you get in the ditch. It also purifies you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It purifies you. Do you know that there is nothing that you have to purify your spirit? When your spirit has been defiled by seeing something, hearing something, saying something, or just being in association with something out there, you need the word of God. If you take a nice long hot shower on a cool day and come out feeling clean, you're just feeling good. You go in here and get a nice bath in the Word of God, spiritually, there's a cleansing that takes place. It cleanses your mind, it cleanses your heart, it cleanses your spirit. So it guides you, admonishes you, purifies you, and then it assures you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It assures you of your salvation. Generally speaking, when somebody's not sure about that, one of the things that you can be sure of is they're not spending an adequate amount of time in the Bible, keeping that foundation strong. They're reading a lot of other stuff, but not necessarily a lot of Bible. So be attentive to these things when you're reading the Bible, when you're studying the Bible, when you hear preaching and teaching. Come prepared, Lord, if I've got something going on in my life that's not right, reprove me. If I've got something that's not right, and I know it's not right, but I don't know how to fix it, show me. Teach me something so I know more than I knew when I started. And instruct me so that I can do this the right way the first time. Don't you hate it when you put it all together and there's five screws left over? You got to take it all apart and put it back together because you left out a real important component inside of there because you didn't read the instructions. Same way in our Christian life. You'll live for a long period of time. Something's missing in the foundation. It won't affect you till much later. And then you're like, why am I in this mess? Something very important in the foundation was missing. The instruction manual keeps that from happening. So the Word of God is very profitable. And don't be afraid to get into it and enjoy all the profitability of it there is while you're reading, okay? Amen. Father, thank you today for the brief instruction, but good instruction, I think, in the words of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will speak with us this way. Lord, I realize that many of us go to the Bible on a regular basis for its devotion, and it's certainly helpful, but I pray that we'll concentrate on these things and really watch you change our lives and build us into the new creatures we are because of salvation. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.